Fusion. Good to be with you guys tonight. Kevin, thanks so much for your story. I spent some time on a motorcycle as well. I'm a big fan of riding a Harley Davidson. And Blake and I had a daughter 11 months ago, and I decided to stop riding while our kids are little, hoping again to get back on a motorcycle someday. But during your video, Blake leaned over to me and said, "There goes your chances of ever getting back on a motorcycle." So thanks, bro. Had to have that GoPro going, huh? Guys, so excited to be back with you again. Did you guys have a good day today? Yeah. Had a really great time this morning worshiping with you guys. Hope you enjoyed your time of solitude and your cabin time. Free time was so much fun. I made my way out to the craft area. Who was out there working the crafts? I walked out there like an hour into it, and you guys were all busy out there. And I walked out, I was like, it sounds like Santa's workshop out here. Like, little hammers and nails, making etch-a-sketches and all that stuff. So, I was able to make this really awesome bear that I'm so excited to put in my office. And by I was able to make, I mean Blake, my wife, made for me this bear that's going to be in my office. So, had a great day. Excited for tonight. Excited to continue this conversation of looking at who we are. If you were with us last night, and most of you were, I know a few people made it this morning, but if you were with us last night, you remember we talked about how we are a people who were reconciled to God because of what Jesus did for us. And when we were reconciled to God, we were made new in Christ. Remember, we talked from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that the old has passed away and the new has come. We are a new creation in Christ. And not only are we a new creation, but we're also being made new. Remember, we talked about the process that we are all in. Excited to continue tonight. Would you guys pray with me as we begin? Jesus, we are so grateful for what you're doing in this place. Lord, we're grateful for what you did on our behalf. We are grateful that those of us who have put our trust in you are a new creation, and we are so grateful that you are also making us into a new creation. Help us to trust that process, Lord. Help us to lean into that process. As we turn to your word now, we pray that you would speak. Holy Spirit, oh, we invite you. We invite you, speak tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Do you guys bring your Bibles tonight? Anybody bring a Bible? Okay, good, good. I see those, but thank you, guys. Yeah, go ahead and open to John chapter 1, if you will. John chapter 1. If you didn't bring your Bible, that is okay. We're going to put the verses up on the screen, but I like to be in my Bible, so, and we're going to be flipping to a few different places tonight. Tonight, we're talking about family. We're talking about family tonight. Now, we all come from somewhere, right? We all have some family of origin that we come from. And for some of us, there's a lot of pride and joy when we think about our families and where we come from. For others, there's pain and there's hurt when we think about our families. But no matter what your family was like, all families have traditions, right? All families, they have traditions and habits. And I think that there's no greater time to think about family's traditions than around the holidays, which are approaching now, right? My family has a tradition that I'm very excited about that we're going to get to participate in very soon. You see, I'm blessed to come from a Bible-believing, Jesus-loving family. And because we're a Bible-believing, Jesus-loving family, we hold fast to the scriptural truth that Christmas music should wait till after Thanksgiving. Okay? And listen. I'm preaching up here, you guys, okay? Listen, can I preach for a second? To some, this seems strange, I know. But to me, it's completely normal. And it is my family's practice, and it has been for years, that we make our Thanksgiving meal. We don't listen to any Christmas music beforehand because we want to keep it special for that time of the Christmas season. And then as soon as our Thanksgiving meal is over, as we begin to do the dishes on Thanksgiving Day, we let the music of Jesus start to play, which in our house is NSYNC Christmas, that album right there, okay? Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays always kicks it off for us, right? And we know it's the season about Jesus' birth now because we were able to get through the Thanksgiving meal. To listen to Christmas music before Thanksgiving, right, it's strange to me. It's, in fact, I think it's sinful, you guys. Ecclesiastes tells us that for everything there is a season. Okay? Can I preach for a second? Okay. For everything there is a season. Wait for the Christmas season, y'all. Sweating up here as I preach. You got a towel? You got a towel for me? Okay. We all have traditions from our family of origin. And some of you have already experienced this, but for others in the room, your time is still coming. One of the strangest things you'll experience in life is getting married because you're marrying somebody from a different family, hopefully, right? You're marrying somebody from a different family. And that different family, and that person comes from a family of origin that has all their traditions as well. And so you come with yours, and they come with theirs. And in your first couple years of marriage especially, you have a lot of conversations trying to figure out what are our traditions going to be in this new family. Blake and I created a tradition for our family in our first year of marriage that seems absurd, but it's something that we absolutely love. One thing you have to know about my wife, Blake, she believes in naming everything. Not just people and animals. Everything gets a name, okay? And in our first year of marriage, we were living in San Diego. We went to go get a Christmas tree together. And so I grew up in Oregon, which is where Christmas trees come from. It's where they live. To have a fake Christmas tree is unacceptable. People with fake Christmas trees wish people a Merry Xmas, okay? Let's keep Christ in it, y'all, okay? So we went to the Christmas tree lot, and we found a noble fir, which is, everybody knows, the kind of tree Mary and Joseph decorated when Jesus was born. It's in the Bible. So we found the biggest one we could fit into our tiny apartment that we lived in San Diego. And as we're tying this tree to the top of the car, Blake says, "What's his name?" I'm like, "It's a Christmas tree." But I knew her well. And being the man that I am, I knew this tree, it needed a manly name. And it was a noble fir, so I said to her, "Nobelius Ferocious." And Blake was like, "Yeah, that's great, but we'll call him Nobi Fifi for short." And I was like, "Absolutely not." So we set up Nobi Fifi in the house, and he's with us all, you know, for that whole month. During the Christmas time. But things got even stranger for us that you think this is absurd. It gets more absurd for us. Because, you know, the week after Christmas, it was time to take Nobi Fifi away. It was time for Nobi to go. And so I prepared to carry him downstairs to the dumpster. Because how many of you know when you live in an apartment, everything goes in the dumpster, right? It's like, does that fit in there? Doesn't matter. Put it in the dumpster. Is it legal to throw that away in the dumpster? Doesn't matter. Put it in the dumpster, right? So I have this tree, and I'm lobbing it into the dumpster. And Blake, I can tell she's sad about Nobi going in the dumpster. And so we decide, you know what? Nobi's not going in the trash. No. Rather, Nobi's going to summer camp. And he's going to spend the next 10 months making air fresheners for people, making people really happy. Making pine saw for people. And then next after Thanksgiving, we'll go back and we'll pick up Nobi from camp and we'll bring him home and we'll have him in our house. And then at the end of Christmas, Nobi will go back to summer camp again. This has happened for the last 6 Christmases for us, picking up Nobi. Is this absurd? Absolutely. But it's our family. And we love it. And it gets us excited for Christmas. And it's something that we're going to teach Austin, our daughter. And by the way, we're pregnant with a little boy coming in February. And if you guys knew that, we got a boy coming. We're going to teach Austin and our son to start getting excited for Christmas and start expecting Nobi to come home from summer camp. So silly, I know. No, take me serious right now. Okay, no. New families have new traditions. They have new habits, new ways of doing life together. Fusion, tonight we're going to look at a new family that is created here in our community. And like all families, there are traditions and there are habits that are formed. And these things that we're going to talk about tonight, they may not naturally come to you. They may not have been represented in your family of origin. But thank God that we're not bound necessarily to where we come from, but we're defined by where Jesus is taking us as a people. But before we get to these values, I want to talk for a minute about how this family is formed. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 say this. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. To as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children. Tom addressed this last week at Fusion, and I thought it was so insightful. You see, people always want to talk about how everybody on this planet, we're all children of God, right? All God's children. But scripturally, that's not actually true. The Bible says that we're all created in God's image. But the truth is, you aren't actually a child of God until the moment you put your trust in the name of Jesus, believing what he has done for you. See, when you believe in Jesus for your salvation and for your new life, that work is done through the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit does that work, something amazing happens for us. Romans chapter 8, you can turn there or it'll be up on the screen. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17 say this. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. But you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. I love this. The spirit of adoption. See, you didn't always belong to this family, but the moment you put your trust in Jesus for your salvation, you now become a part of this family. I have many friends who have adoption as part of their story, either adopting children or themselves being adopted as a child. And what an amazing thing for a family to decide together to bring somebody else into the family. It is no small thing that happens in adoption. And from what I've observed, what I've heard, what I've learned, it's a process, adoption. Not just the legal process, but in the home too. Trust is built over time. Things that were strange and foreign eventually become normal. And eventually, that child goes from viewing these adoptive parents as either strangers or other family members to all of a sudden viewing them as mom and dad. Verse 15 in Romans, it tells us that we can cry out, Abba, Father. This word Abba is not a formal term. It's not a term that you use with somebody who you are intimidated by. It's not a term that you use with somebody that you are afraid of. It is a term of endearment. It's daddy. Our daughter Austin, one of the first things she started to say was this phrase, dada. And to be honest, she says it for a lot of stuff. But when she looks at me, she says, Dada. And when she says, Dada, she looks for me. And she recognizes me as Dada. And when she looks at me and she says the words, Dada, she knows that she is looking at and talking to somebody who is there for her. Somebody who loves her. Somebody who would never hurt her. Somebody who will protect her. She knows that she has a kind of relationship with me that she doesn't have with anybody else in this world. Abba. Daddy. See, fusion. Know tonight when you choose to place your trust in Jesus, you come into a brand new kind of relationship with the creator of the universe, where he isn't just the creator of the universe anymore, but now he's Abba. Now he's Daddy. There is a closeness and there is an intimacy that is reflected in our relationship with our parents, but this goes so far beyond that. Our fathers and our parents, they are meant to be signposts to us, pointing us towards God the Father. And some do a better job than others. All fall short. But when we look at them, we're supposed to see something of what the relationship with God the Father is like. And whatever closeness you may have felt or feel with your father, would you know that there is an intimacy so much deeper with God the Father, because he is not just our creator, but he's Abba. See, when you become a follower of Jesus, you are born into a new family called the church. And we suddenly have this closeness and this relationship with the creator. And listen, this family called the church, it's imperfect, just like all of your families are, and just like mine is. But this family, it's also God's plan for his people. And here's the beautiful thing about this family, you guys. Everyone is invited in. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 28. Says this: For you are all sons of God, sons and daughters of God, through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. You see, Paul tells us that all people from all walks of life are invited into this family. This list that he gives here, he lists these different kinds of people. And what he's doing is he's giving as stark a contrast as he could at the time of the kinds of people who are invited in. Male and female, Jew and Greek, slave and free. Fusion, we are just coming through and are still in a lot of ways in a very ugly time for our nation. When you think back on the last week in particular, but the last few months of this presidential election. The differences that divide us as people, they were exposed and highlighted and brought to the surface in a way that really only happens every 4 years, though this time felt particularly ugly to me. Can I just tell you tonight that in the family of God, there is neither Republican nor Democrat. Only libertarian. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. Too soon, yeah. Too soon. Okay. I want to take a risk for a moment, actually, with this passage. I want to reword Paul for just a minute, which is a risky thing for a preacher to do. Paul in here, he lists these things and he says neither. And when he says neither, there is neither this nor this. He's signifying the oneness in the family of God. And obviously, I agree with Paul. He wrote a whole lot of the New Testament. I believe the Holy Spirit was speaking through him. But I also want us to know that when we come into the family of God, man, we come into a thing where we are one, where we are the same, but we also remain different as well. And in the family of God, there's Republican and there's Democrat. There's black and white and Latino and Middle Eastern. There are executives and starving artists. There are rule followers and there are drug addicts. And best of all, and most importantly, there are sinners saved by grace, desperately needing salvation that Jesus has for them, reconciled to God, made new and being made new. See, everyone who calls on the name of Jesus gets a seat at the table in the family of God. Fusion, who are we? We are a family in process with Jesus. And if you have called on the name of Jesus, you are welcomed into this family. I also just want to say very quickly that some in this room, you're still in process of deciding about Jesus. You're still in process of exploring faith. You haven't come to the place yet where you've decided to put your trust in the name of Jesus for your redemption. I want you to hear me very clearly. You are so welcome here at Fusion. You are so welcome here. There is a place for you here at Fusion as you walk out this journey. Scripturally, I believe you haven't come to a place where you've been born into the family of God through your faith in Him, but you are welcome here at Fusion, and we want to walk with you on that journey. Hear me well on that. So what is this new family like? If when we put our trust in Jesus, we're given the spirit of adoption, we are born into a new family, what is this family like? What are the traditions? What are the habits that we practice here in the family of God, and more specifically in this community called Fusion? Sean, if you want to join me up here, I'll be closing in a moment. There's two ways I want to think about our habits and our traditions. One of the things that we do here at Fusion that we try to do well is practice what I call the one another's well. Scripture gives us a whole bunch of different things that we are supposed to do with and to one another. Things like love one another, like Jesus did, a sacrificial love for others in this room. We make peace with one another, and we build one another up. That means the things that we say to each other. That means the things that we put on our Facebook during election time. That means the things that we post. We accept one another the way Christ has accepted us, not counting our sins against each other, but welcoming each other in. Wherever we are in the process, we say you are welcome here. You are accepted here as you are. We serve one another. We forgive one another. We recognize that we've been forgiven so we can forgive others. We don't hold stuff against other people, but we let other people move on from the things that they may have struggled with in their past. We encourage one another. There's also some practicals that we do together. We retreat together. Families take vacations, don't they? We come up here together once a year and spend some time in the mountains hanging out and fellowshipping with each other. We create a space to worship together. Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on Colorado Boulevard, we gather to worship together. We have a social space that we create together where we share a meal, where we hang out with each other, where we listen to music. It's called the cafe. It happens every week after Fusion. We gather in smaller groups throughout the week called life groups. And these are the places where we get real, where we get authentic with each other. Some of you in here even have the courage to lead a life group. If you, that's you, I just want to say well done. Thank you for doing that for us. We learn new songs together. We have amazing songs that we sing, but we're always looking for new songs. Think, aren't you so grateful for Sean and the team as they've been leading us and teaching us new songs? We We celebrate with each other when somebody in this community takes a step towards more complete commitment to Jesus. One of the ways we do that is through baptism, which happens 4 times a year. It's happening next month. We're going to do it at Fusion, where people who have put their trust in Jesus decide to publicly demonstrate their faith by getting baptized in water. And when that happens, we celebrate with them. And we share a family meal together. It's called communion. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. But before we get to communion, I want to give people in this room an opportunity to respond. Particularly, and who I'm really talking to is anybody in this room who you've never made a decision for Jesus before. I don't know where you are in your journey on that. I don't know how long you've been exploring faith. I don't know how you got here, but thank God that you did. And you've heard what we've been talking about. You heard about being reconciled back to God. And you know that hasn't happened for you yet. You've heard about being born into this new family, but you know that's not true of you yet. But you're ready tonight to do that. Can I just tell you that the Bible teaches about a holy God, sinless and perfect, righteous, who created all things, including humanity. And the plan was that we would walk close with him in a perfect relationship with him. But sin entered the story. And when sin entered the story, that caused a break in the relationship. That caused the need to be reconciled back to him. And we were left in a bad way where we couldn't do it on our own. But thank God he didn't leave us that way, because he sent Jesus, born as a helpless baby, lived a perfect life, went to the cross as the perfect sacrifice for your sin and for mine. And as he hung on that cross, like we talked about last night, he became your sin and mine so that his righteousness would become ours. And he died on that cross, a real death. And he went into a real tomb with a real stone rolled in front of it. And for 3 days, he was in that tomb. But on that third day, that stone was rolled away, and our Savior walked out of that tomb, giving us victory over sin and death because he claimed it in that moment. And now he says to you, if you have not made this decision, he says to you, this is yours to take. This is your reconciliation. This is your redemption. This is your second chance. Do not miss this. Paul says in Galatians, I do not set aside the grace of God. We can't do it on our own, but he did it for us. And when we put our trust in him for our salvation, we are made new. We receive the Holy Spirit, and he says to us, now I've got some stuff for you to do in this world. And I just wonder tonight, if there's anybody in this room, you've never made that decision before. You've never put your trust in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, for your reconciliation back to the Father, but you're ready to do it here tonight. You're ready to be reconciled back to God and be born into this family called the church. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to be brave. A lot of the time I have everybody close their eyes and bow their heads and we do a personal thing together, but we just talked about family and we're going to do some family business tonight. And I believe somebody in this room is going to be born into the family of God in this moment right now. This is your opportunity. So if that's you, if you've never made that decision before, I'm going to ask you to be brave and I'm going to ask you to stand up on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. I see you back there. Yes, yes, yes. I see you guys. That is good. For you four who stood up, in just a couple of minutes, we're going to have some people ready to pray with you. I want you four especially, go pray with somebody. They're going to be up in the front and in the back. Go pray with somebody. We want somebody to talk with you, pray with you, help you understand what you just did and what just happened in you. Let you hear tonight that there is a new life for you. Man, the old is gone. The old has passed away. The new has come in you, in your life, tonight. The night before Jesus was betrayed and went to the cross, he was gathered with some friends. Thanks. He was gathered with some friends, sharing a meal together. And in a way to demonstrate what he was about to go and do, he took a loaf of bread and he broke it. And holding that loaf, he told his friends, he told his disciples, "This is my body, which is going to be broken for you, for the forgiveness of your sins." And then he took a cup and he said, "This represents the blood of the new covenant." See, in the old covenant, there was a lot of things you had to do to have your sins covered up and taken away. But he said, "No longer. Because of what I'm going to do for you tomorrow on that cross, there's a new deal. And here is the deal. When you believe in me, you are forgiven and you are made new." And he said, "As often as you get together, take this bread and drink this cup and remember what I have done for you." If you have put your trust in Jesus for your salvation, including you four who just did it, tonight we're going to go and we're going to receive communion together, and we're going to remember what Jesus did for us, that he died on that cross to reconcile us back to God and to help us be born into a new family. In a moment, we're going to begin to worship. As we're going to worship, you can make your way whenever you are ready to any of these communion teams that are around the room. They want to serve you communion. In addition to that, there's going to be people up on here in the front and a few in the back who would love to pray with you. You four who stood up, go pray with somebody. Anybody else in this room, anything that you want prayer for, we would love to pray for you. Can we pray together? Lord, we thank you. We thank you for these people who made this decision, God. Lord, we recognize it is no small thing that what just happened in this room, Lord. Four lives were redeemed and made new. And we say thank you, and we celebrate that. And now, Lord, as we go and we receive communion, we remember what you did for us. We love you so much, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. You are free to receive communion or come and get prayer.